It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be
there in an hour. So I had a thought earlier, and it's disturbing, and because it's so disturbing, I'm going to hold it off for a few minutes at least, because...
Well, now I can't concentrate on anything.
Now, like, it's sort of a, you know, I'm trying to volleyball game in my head. Well, what would make, things sort of feel good? And that is that, and we really don't talk about this as much as we probably should or could, because the Bills went ahead and got really good the last few years, but all the college football business with players having the incentive to not come out for the draft, even quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
We had Ty Simpson from Alabama be offered a reported $6.5 million last week to stay in college. Not at Alabama, I think, even, but whatever. And now it's Dante Moore of Oregon,
mm-hmm.
who was the presumptive second overall pick, which would be to the Jets, who have not had a good quarterback since. Let me throw out a name. Pennington.
I was going to say, it depends on how good you think Chad Pennington was.
All right. Well, we can't really have that conversation then because we both don't know.
He was pretty good. Favre was kind of a disaster there.
All right. Well, you know, he's in the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah. I mean, he was good. He just wasn't good. He was great. He just wasn't very good in New York.
Mark Sanchez.
Favre.
I mean, Testaverde.
AFC title game.
Ken O'Brien.
Mark Sanchez.
Joe Namath. Richard Todd. So here were the Jets. Like, they kind of did the assignment. They got to the top of the draft. The Giants didn't. Right. Other teams didn't. Cleveland didn't know what to do. They went and won a couple games. And so it was kind of set up for them to get another possible franchise quarterback. But it's not going to be him because he's not coming out. Because the money is good enough in college.
Right.
Otherwise, come on. We always say about coaching jobs. Sal said this maybe the other day, and I was thinking it when he said it. Maybe it was the Jets, or the Jets don't have an opening, actually. But, like, no matter who the team is, as dysfunctional as you think, it was the Jets. This probably goes back to when the Bills played them.
And it looked so bad for Aaron Glenn. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's still, I mean, it's still appealing. It's still hot. It's the NFL. It's New York. Like, you could bomb, but still be in the pool after that. Like, you could still be interesting after that. You wouldn't have to shun it just because it's the Jets. You know, some of these bad teams.
There's definitely guys out there that wouldn't shun it, but I think a guy like Ben Johnson, you know, that level of candidate. I mean, he waited an extra. Jordan Aaron Glenn. They both could have had jobs, I think, two off seasons ago. And went back to Detroit and waited because maybe they didn't like the opportunities. Yeah, I don't know. We've been talking like this about college quarterbacks, I think, way prior to NIL. Whether a guy would come out because of who's at the top.
But they always do.
They almost always do. But we still have talked about it. Now there's incentive to stay. You're getting a lot of money to stay in college. $6 million for 1 year playing college football is, you know, pretty good work. But it's not an NFL contract, right? I mean, it's not $50 million guaranteed. But still, if you don't like the lay of the land, yeah. I mean, if you can make a few million bucks hoping that somebody better presents themselves, you know, you have to do your part. You have to have a year where you are still thought of as, you know, top pick worthy. Right? There have been guys in history. Brian Brohm is one. Brian Brohm. Remember Brian Brohm? I'm going back a long time now, but he took college football, I don't know, by storm is too strong, but he was a really hot commodity at the end of all year at Louisville. And I don't know if he had to choose whether or not to come out back then or not, but he stayed in school, and then his stock went way down. So you got to play, you know, you got to show that you are still worth that level of pick. So there is, you know, and then there's always the risk of injury too. But yeah, I mean, it's pretty nice for a hotshot college player to be able to go, yeah, I'm not nuts about this.
There are a lot of those guys. Not often. I mean, even Caleb Williams, who was drafted first overall, but he was so after a more complicated season at USC.
He sounded like a better idea the year before. Right? Not a better idea, but like it was like unbelievable can't miss Mahomes comps, and then there were more questions about him when he stayed in college that second year.
Yeah, that goes both ways. Like Burrow was nobody until he
had
his season at LSU, and then he was 101.
Cam Newton was a one-year wonder at Auburn and went 101. He was in junior college maybe before that or something. Like he was not a name really on the landscape that at least, I mean, I'm sure there were scouts that were paying attention to him, but like it was not, you know, it didn't reach my desk anyway, who Cam Newton was before he got to Auburn that year.
Right. Well, it's just different now. I think the bottom line, whether it's coaches, maybe it's not coaches, but the point was about quarterbacks and, you know, college quarterbacks, that they would always come out because, you know, if the Bills are in the conversation before, like pre-Allen, which they often were.
Right, this is where I thought you were going. I'm sorry. I sort of muddied the water on you, but yeah.
No, I just think like the coach's point was like it's kind of the same for this. I mean, Ben Johnson didn't know Chicago would be open, and he didn't necessarily have a bead on Caleb Williams, but he didn't want to go to Washington for whatever reason. He waited, and, you know, it worked out, right? Like, that worked out.
Right.
But with quarterbacks, like in the pre-Allen era, it would never have – the Bills, like, never got as high as the second overall pick, right? They got to 3 or 4. But still, like, if there were a quarterback in the pool and you needed one, you would just, you know – you would settle. You would talk yourself into it. Like, I can't draft a linebacker here. I have to get... Right.
You would expect that player would be available to you.
And now you've got Dante Moore, Ty Simpson, who are just, like, not going to bother.
Right. If we were still living that life, like, if Josh Allen hadn't happened, if they picked Josh Rosen and that washed out and we're still wandering the desert here, maybe the Bills would have tried Aaron Rodgers on for a year or something. Who knows what could have happened? We'd be stressing about guys not wanting to come here, for sure. Because that's, I mean, if you're the New York Jets right now, you just found out you're not drafting Dante Moore. And there's probably a lot of Jets fans that were pretty excited about that, even with, you know, them sort of flaming out in the playoff. I mean, whatever, they made it to the semifinals. It's not exactly a flame out, but...
Oregon.
Oregon, right.
Yeah, you're just on the come. Like, you don't even know who the guy is. You can't know. You don't even know what you're getting. But you're excited. Like, you want – it's not about the fans as much as it's about the team. Like, the team, when you get to the Jets' point, where they've been for a long time, but you get to the point where you're drafting at the top of the draft, you know, you just want to be able to sell something. And some of these teams have, like, the Jets with Rodgers and even Justin Fields, who's much younger, but, like, he was still, like, sort of a little bit kind of dried up as a player.
Mm-hmm.
You're just trying to be able to sell something. And the last time the Jets did the rookie dance, that was Zach Wilson. And that wasn't everybody's favorite idea, but at least, you know, you sort of get some mileage out of that. And maybe it can work. I mean, Allen was obviously, we know, I mean, controversial as a prospect. And that worked out to the absolute moon. So anyway... the Jets are not going to be able to draft Dante Moore if there's someone or Ty Simpson. Nor is anyone else. If there's someone else, well, the more interesting thing about this offseason for me is not that the Bills are there yet, of course, and this probably won't apply to them. It's not the coaches; it's the quarterbacks. Because, like you told me, that Kirk Cousins was going on TV this week.
Yeah,
like this is good for him. Dante Moore going to Oregon.
Oh, for sure.
Like, yeah. Every one of these.
Michael Penix getting hurt is good for him, probably. Well, like, if he wants to stay in Atlanta anyway, but yeah.
He's under contract there, isn't he?
Right, yeah.
Every one of these kind of we laugh at them. We make fun of them. These veterans who we just think are proven to be bad. Well, maybe there's the landscape is shifting is all. We know. That's all I'm saying is that some of these veteran, Mitch Trubisky is somebody who maybe ends up spin the wheel and maybe he ends up like being interesting to somebody because they can't draft the blue chip rookies right. this year. I mean, the Raiders will. I saw it at DraftKings, Mendoza is minus 8,000 to be the first pick. It's January 14th. The draft is more than 3 months away.
Yeah.
And, you know, minus 8,000 is what they're going to need from you. $800 to win 10.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and not bet that.
No. I mean, find somebody else that he goes out for a jog and hurts himself or something. Then, I mean, I'm not actively doing this. I don't think you can bet the draft here anyway. We know that through the years. Well, good luck to the Jets.
I don't want my name on good luck to the Jets.
All right.
I would sooner say to hell with the
Let's
Jets.
Let's move on. I thought of a Denver thing that I thought I would put to you.
Okay.
So you have this thing where you dredge up reasons for hating on their coach, whoever the Bills are playing. This is an easy one.
I've got my feet on the coffee table this week.
This is an easy one.
Bounty Gate. I'm done.
Hayden is not likable at all.
No. Did you see the bit with the reporter yesterday?
No.
A young sounding reporter asked him a question about Dre Greenlaw coming back. I guess he's been hurt. He was limited in practice yesterday. So he missed whatever. They're on bye, but I guess he's missed some time. So he's coming back, or at least they're hopeful that they're going to get him back. And the guy / kid, I don't know what, it just sounded like a very young reporter. I don't think it was a kid, but, you know, 20s maybe sounding. Phrased the question like, how good, how important is it going to be to get Dre Greenlaw back and have him attacking downhill this week because you're playing the Bills and, you know, they've got a good running game. And Peyton very derisively just got to, what do you know about attacking downhill? Like, basically, what are you talking about? You're just trying. He didn't say this, but like the whole tone of it was, you're trying to sound like you know football, like you know ball. You're trying to be I'm a ball knower. You're not a ball knower. What do you know about it? Yeah, it'll be. And he eventually gets to. It'll be good to have Dre back, but he had to like admonish the guy for using this phrasing. That, you know, I don't know if it comes off like Peyton felt like the kid hadn't earned the right to use the football phrasing.
Yeah.
And I mean, just hit him in the face with a bat, Peyton. Just what a jerk. There's no need for that. I don't know if there's history with this guy, reporter or what, but it was just such a jerky thing to do. No need for it whatsoever. Just peak condescension. Man, I hate that guy. So easy.
Isn't it nice to not have to work
for
it this week?
I mean, I really dug deep last week. I was proud of my work on Liam Cohen last week.
At some point,
sound effects and everything.
Right. At some point by Friday, you're going to get to the visor, and I don't know how I'm going to react, but I did sort of think about that this morning and chose not to wear a visor today. Got a haircut, though, actually, as well. No visor. Should I just sort of spurn the visor look for the rest of the week because of Sean Payton?
I mean, that would be a commitment.
You know who you do love, though?
Who do I love?
John Elway.
I loved John Elway, the player. I haven't been nuts about him since he really stopped playing.
I watched the documentary about him.
Yeah.
The Netflix, wasn't it?
Yeah, there is.
It's all right.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there. I read a review that said they left a lot of stuff out that would be typical, you know, like that maybe could have been good, juicy, but, you know, they don't go there because editorial control or whatever.
Unauthorized, or it's an authorized
biography? I think it's an authorized joint, yeah.
Biopic?
Yeah.
On Elway?
So I haven't gotten there yet.
I was never an Elway guy.
Yeah, I loved him as a player.
He was your favorite.
He was my first favorite player that wasn't on the Bills. When he showed up, like, I liked guys on the Oilers and whatever, but like Elway, I got excited when the Broncos were on in the four. It was just the 4 o'clock window, not 4:25. When back when we were kids, anytime they were on, you know, prime time, which really was only Monday Night Football.
That was at 9:00.
Or the 4 o'clock game, like Elway. I want to watch. Like I became a big fan of his, the way he played. But as a like, I don't know, as an executive, I haven't really, you know, whatever. I'm still not. I don't feel attached to him anymore. That's for sure.
Is anybody closer to Elway historically than Josh Allen? Elway, big arm, big shoulders, wanted to run, could beat you with his legs.
Yeah.
Was not Montana, was not Mahomes, was not somebody that was just like sort of pretty and accurate, like to the hilt. He was more of a brute,
yeah.
Elway. Who's been closer to Elway? I mean, also great. Like that, there are a lot of guys that maybe have wanted to play like that, but just can't do it, can't last.
Yeah.
But Allen is always Newton with Allen because like the touchdowns are just record level stuff and like just a beast as a quarterback. And, you know, the Newton point is often about how the shelf life is. Like, maybe he doesn't have the shelf life. And this has already been a conversation we've had as recently as last – or this week.
Sure.
Monday. Just how – if he's compromised as a runner at all at this point of his life.
How much does that damage, you know, what he's capable of? I think significantly.
Elway had Cunningham – or Cunningham was maybe a little bit later, but he had somebody who – I know this is going back a long time. Sorry. But – Cunningham was super fast and long. I mean, tall and skinny and was a dangerous runner, I mean, to put it mildly, for a quarterback. Elway was more like Allen is, where around you, through you, feet, you know, and also heady, I think. I don't think Elway, like analytics, we'll talk to Aaron Schatz later this week. I don't know if Elway really measures up to the all-time greats, but, I mean, he won championships. Yep. And had a distinctive style.
He was a great watch.
Sort of ahead of his time.
That's why I got to admire him as much as I did. He was just fun to watch. He played, it felt like he played differently than everybody else in that era. The thing that I think is different now because of the era, and I might be, you know, it's certainly possible that I don't remember accurately, you know, what was going on in the mid-80s or late 80s, but I don't remember lots of designed, any kind of designed running plays for Elway. No. It was just, he ran out of, you know, scramble and would get downfield and was certainly a very good runner. But teams back then did not, I don't think, have their quarterbacks run on purpose. Like there wasn't, hey, let's run a quarterback, maybe a little
draws.
Quarterback draw, maybe.
Yeah,
but around right end or anything like that, like we've seen with Allen. I don't think that really existed.
No, I agree with that. It probably existed in the 60s.
Yeah, right.
But I think Elway's play, in my mind's eye, is a quarterback draw. He's in the shotgun. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are these plays in the drive against Cleveland.
Yep.
Like there, that's kind of his.
That is right. That's
his
right.
Running play.
That's about peak. That's peak quarterback run. Designed runs was draws for him. Steve Young probably same thing. Some of that, but. Anyway, yeah, he was a great runner, great athlete, and yeah, big arm, and could just throw it a mile.
Well, the Bills have really never had a bad or a big loss to Denver. You know, two playoff games, two wins, 92 AFC Championship, and then last year. It's not like they've owned Denver.
They clinched the division there in 20.
Yeah,
first division title in a long
Kumerow,
time. Yep.
Singletary. They don't really have
Bill Fichtner.
Our show.
He was the first caller on that postgame show.
Yes, and he won't leave me alone since. It went so well. The guy will not. Because I brought up the West Wing to him, and he just loves to talk about that. Christopher Mulready, by the way, is the name of the character on the West Wing.
Trading DMs or something? Or you guys got digits?
I don't know. Right? It won't stop. The Tebow game. Tebow here late in the season, and the Bills blow Denver out.
Yeah.
Just like the Bills Broncos history is mostly Bills, I think. In the mid-80s, when Denver was it, Buffalo wasn't. And then the Bills rose up and beat Elway in 91.
Right.
They lost a game or two here and there, but really... I don't know, what are the...
What's up, it's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back, on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Bills to the Broncos, or what are the Bills to Broncos fans? What are they aspiring to here this week?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is it revenge? Is it last year? How excited could Broncos fans have been about last year's playoffs? Like, okay, we made it.
Right. But, first rookie quarterback. All right. You know, maybe you feel like this is a sign we're going to be here a while. So good. But yeah, I don't think you were, you know, expecting to come in here and beat the Bills.
Objectively. No, if it happens, it happens.
Right. But. Right. So it probably wasn't too deflating to suffer that loss. You know, easy for me to say, but, you know.
Well, it's a little bit like last week's conversations with Jacksonville and how Patrick Mahomes not being in the playoffs is not only a perceived advantage for Josh Allen. It would be one for everybody in the AFC playoffs. And here's Bo Nix in year two. I mean, the guy played in huge games in college. He was in the playoffs last year as a rookie. Now he's got the one seed. And he's at home against Josh, right? Like, this is awesome. And the opportunity point. I made this point last week about Lawrence and how I didn't think he would get scared. And I think I was half right. I wouldn't want to swear to that there was none of that. Because Lawrence, I think, wimped out on a couple plays. And he can zip it. I mean, there were plays in this game, the Washington touchdown pass, where Lawrence, you know, you see the arm talent and you could see how good, why he is a first overall pick. Nix is different. Like, he's not the perfect body. He, you know, 6'6", and he gets Allen a second year in a row. The Broncos can't stop playing the Bills in the playoffs under Bo Nix. Mahomes isn't there, and they're 1 week closer, and they're not leaving home. This is all just a point about incentives, I guess, which don't have to really tell you anything. Anyway, I just can't wait. John Elway, Sean Payton, Randy Gradishar.
Wow.
Carl Mecklenburg.
Tom Jackson. Steve Atwater.
Ricky Natiel.
Hang on, we are stealing the morning show's
Bill Bryan,
bit here, which is like names.
We're
some,
remembering
name
some Broncos.
Some guys.
Well,
remember
they stole
some
it from somebody else. But Steve Sewell.
Well, that's a good one.
Go long on the Broncos. Saturday, 4:30. We will talk to Benjamin Albright today about the matchup and also what's going on in the coaching ranks around the NFL. The news about Dante Moore staying at Oregon is interesting to the teams at the top of the draft, like the Jets, but not so much to us, especially this week. Sal Capaccio at 5. The Sabres are home to the Flyers tonight. That's a 7:30 game. 6:30, Paul Hamilton. We will hear from their new assistant GM on the pregame show tonight, Mark Bergevin, former Canadiens general manager, Lindy Ruff, and also, of course, as always, some locker room sound. Thanks for listening. Your thoughts on Saturday and where we're at with the Bills. Can Curtis Samuel, off of a 7-reception season, make a difference in this playoff push? We'll talk about that and more as we continue. Lines are open. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.